This is a June 2007 KCLU radio report that has to do with two of the survivors shown in the Santa Barbara Portraits of Survival exhibition at the Jewish Federation in downtown Santa Barbara.
In Poland, outside of Warsaw, in a town called Okuniew. I was 5 years old when the war broke out. When Germany invaded Poland in 1939, they had a plan to eradicate all the Jews in Europe. Hitler called it the final solution. So part of the final solution was get all the Jews rounded up and then to establish concentration camps, and you know, many of them were exterminated.
Her family, like thousands of Jewish families in Poland, was forced to the Warsaw Ghetto. It was basically a staging area for the Polish Jews before they were shipped to concentration camps where most would be murdered.
There was a woman that lived in Okuniew, in the town where I was born. She would come into the Warsaw Ghetto as a Gentile. She was allowed to come in. She brought food for people. Yeah, people were literally starving. And she knew my family because my father was a shoemaker in town, so he knew a lot of people. She came to my family and asked my mother if I could go back with her to Okuniew to take care of her cow while she was traveling back and forth.
Maria's family was reluctant to let the little girl go, but they realized it was her best chance for survival.
My mother said, yes, I know that all of us are going to die, so at least you're the only one that will survive. So I went.
At first, the little girl was safe with her new guardian, but soon had to flee for a second time.
One of the teenagers that was originally from Okuniew escaped from the Warsaw Ghetto. She and her boyfriend, and they were staying in the area, but someone denounced them and they killed them both. They came to get me. The family pushed me out of the window. I stayed in the cornfield and the attic. And Vanda, whose mother and father lived in Okuniew, they knew that I was in trouble. So they came over and told me to take the train to Warsaw.
Maria's friend's parents took her in as one of their own, disguising the fact the little girl was Jewish because that was an automatic death sentence for all if the authorities discovered it.
She took me to Warsaw, to Wanda's house, and that's how I became Catholic, and I lived with Wanda and her family. We were liberated by the Russians in 1945.
Maria survived, but her family didn't. Her father, mother, three sisters, and two brothers were murdered, as were a number of other relatives. She couldn't speak about her family's tragedy for decades, but now she talks about it all the time, at schools and to community groups.
It took me 50 years before I could actually talk about my story. I was not able to talk to my children, my husband. I realized that as difficult as it was at the beginning, that it's important to convey the message that the genocide never happened again.
Maria Siegel, along with fellow survivor Erica Kahn and Dr. Elizabeth Wolfson with the Jewish Federation of Greater Santa Barbara, just returned from a conference in Poland on the Holocaust. Dr. Wolfson says with survivors now in their 80s and 90s, it's important that the stories be documented and told to younger generations.
The most valuable resource we have are the people who experience this firsthand.
Dr. Wolfson helped spearhead a permanent display at the Jewish Federation in Santa Barbara, telling the stories of more than three dozen local survivors.
The exhibit is a museum-quality exhibition which contains contemporary photographs of our community residents, Santa Barbara County, who are survivors and refugees of the Holocaust. They're interactive, so you open up the portrait, it opens kind of like a book, and each story unfolds with documentation, photos, and archival material.
Survivor Erica Kahn of Carpinteria says while more than 60 years have passed, the memories of what happened to her and her family are as clear as ever.
We lived under the Nazi regime, which came in January 1933 until I left in 1939. I remember Kristallnacht very well. I remember when we had to go leave public schools and had to go to Jewish schools. I was 13, and I remember clearly when I took my little brother to the children's transport to England because my mother was ill, my father was not in the country anymore, and there were no family members that could help to leave Germany, how difficult that was.
Kahn says the fear was overwhelming.
We were constantly afraid, scared. That was sort of the norm of the day. Phones were tapped. You couldn't even talk in your house because the walls were fairly thin and you were afraid that somebody would hear. It was always,
always frightening.
The now 82-year-old woman's mother, father, and brother survived, but her grandparents and other relatives died. When Kahn and survivor Maria Siegel were in Poland for the Holocaust conference recently, Siegel tried again to find traces of her family.
And I went to a city called Lublin, where they have a concentration camp called Majdanek. They have archives. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything. The teenager that escaped told me she saw her family and my family being taken on a transfer, most likely Treblinka or Auschwitz.
Siegel says while it's hard to talk about what happened, the 72-year-old woman says she has to, so others will know and will remember.
We shouldn't forget what happened. We don't want history to repeat itself.
Lance Orozco, KCLU News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR.
What did you make of it?
Well,